have 100 males and 100 females in a party, all right? And then you want to achieve 100 pairs using the DA algorithm. And then a very logical prediction is that the matching is stable, and that honesty is best for everyone, right? So this is something you expect. But in reality, will this really happen? So let's see the one assumption. Okay. So the assumption is male has a predefined order of preference over females, right? And then he will decide whether to accept offer or not based on this preference. Okay. Now, assume you are a male, and then initially you prefer Alice over Becky. Always like her. Okay? But Becky proposed to you first, in the first round. And you accept Becky for now, right? For the moment, you accept Becky. And then, after many, many rounds, nobody proposed to you. And then, in the round 99, Alice proposed to you. Okay? And then, you face a choice. So, will I replace Becky with Alice? Okay. So, I will not do a voting here. I believe many of you here will not do this swap. Because what? Because that you see you are Becky's first choice, right? Which choice is you? Alice to you? Well, so in Alice's viewpoint, what's the order you are in? Could be very, very late, right? Okay, you propose and reject it, propose and reject it, and in the end it comes to you. Okay? Now, maybe you will just stick with Becky, will not change to Alice, right? Because, for future, right? Probably that's not good. Okay, but Gale Shapley's DA algorithm will ask you to replace Becky by Alice, right? Okay? So in reality, sometimes some assumption may not be working, right? Okay. Alright, so now we come to the many-to-one matching. So many-to-one matching, we already discussed about it in the last lecture, especially when schools are admitting students. Right? Okay. So we can use an extension of DA mechanism, and then the student corresponds to female, the school corresponds to male, and then female proposed to male. Right? Okay. So you can still do it. Now, in the very basic model of the many-to-one matching, you have a bunch of students, a bunch of schools, right? And school has a student has a fixed preference, strict preference of the students, schools, and each school has a strict preference of the students. And then each school will have a so-called maximum quota, right, or its capacity. And when mu is a matching, we say us is the school where a student is matched, and mu c is the students that match to school C, right? And then we say a match is feasible if the number of students matched to a certain school is not beyond its capacity. Okay, so these are all very standard definitions. Okay. And then DA mechanism for this many-to-one matching, again, is that every student apply to school, and then school accept the top QC, right, students, reject all the others, right? And then when there are new proposals, just replace. So it's a very straightforward extension. So I don't know why the slide was so strange. It's thirdly, when I open in another system, it does not have such a problem. Okay. But anyway, this is just telling you by rounds, the students apply to schools and the school accept top several students, and it's very stable, just like this, right? Now you have a max quota of different three schools, and then at the beginning, the application is like this. They prefer Y, right? Three of them prefer Y, and one of them prefer T, and one of them prefer S. So they accept these two and accept the top two, right? The yellow and the purple reject the pink. Okay? Oh, sorry. My bad. See that the not the three rows that apply to y, right? So it's these two and the green one. So that's why they accept the top two, right? Okay, and then the green one applies to its next preference, which is here, s, right? And when it applies to s, because the max order is 1, and then the school s prefer green one to this boy, and then it will be replaced, right? And then the last one, this one, goes to the second choice, t, okay? And then everything's happy because t can accept two people, two students, and now there are really two. So the final solution is just stable, right? Okay, so that's the outcome of many-to-one matching and DA algorithm. Okay. Now, again, no matter who proposed, right, that sign, no single person will deviate, right? They will not cheat. Okay, so again, students, they cannot get better outcome by changing their preference. And then we, at the same time, need to guarantee some fairness. Okay, so fairness is, we also mentioned it a bit last time. So there are two actually. One is no student has a justified envy. Alright, so what does it mean? So a student, if it's rejected from school C, and then all the students accepted to school C should have higher priority than this student. Alright, so this way the student S will not envy. You will not say, oh, because so I choose this school, but this school choose somebody below me, right? Below his preference. That's not good, right? Okay. So if the school admitted students are all at a higher position compared to this S, then it is okay, right? And then there is another fairness one, another stable consideration is called non-wastefulness. So non-wastefulness basically says, if a student is rejected from school C, then C is filled to its maximum capacity. So in other words, C do not have extra capacity to accept the student. If C still has capacity, S like C, then that's not good, right? Because S will be claiming an empty seat in that school, right? Okay, so a solution we say is stable if both conditions are satisfied. So the student will not envy someplace or claiming an empty seat from the school. Alright? Okay. And then a blocking pair would be a pair where the student has envy or claim an empty seat. Right? So this is only happening in many-to-one matching. Okay. So the DA mechanism will obtain the optimal matching for students, and as usual, right, so who propose who will get the best outcome, right? But then, today the major thing is, when your school has a minimum quota or regional maximum quota, then the algorithm can no longer satisfy the good property. Okay? So this is also something that we will talk about today. Now, especially when there are these constraints, there could be no stable matching. Well, that's the more serious consequence, right? Because last time, in the last lecture, we say many variants of matching, we can use DA to generate a stable matching. But when you have minimum quota or regional maximum quota, then these things no longer true. Alright? So you can imagine, why do you need to have a minimum quota? Well, because if a school wants to operate, you need to have a minimum size of students. For example, for this master class, right? I cannot say for CS, we only recruit 5 students. That's not good, right? You have to guarantee, for example, at least 70, right? So we need to have a safe amount in order to run the class, right? Okay. So, the constraints, right? We already mentioned why school need to maintain a certain minimum number of students, and also some residents must be allocated to a certain, not city area, rural area. All right. Okay. Now, and on the other hand, all right, we usually require this school can only recruit up to 400 students, for example. Okay. But this 400 is not, you cannot say a hard limit. For example, if I admit 401, maybe it's still okay, right? 402, maybe it's still okay. So setting an extreme limit or absolute max sometimes is not so reasonable. That's why you will allow the so-called regional maximum instead of individual school maximum. You have the individual school maximum, but regional maximum is also very important. Okay? So here, the maximum quota sometimes can be addressed by allocating some extra resource, or it can be reflected in the regional maximum quota, this one. Okay, so what's the regional maximum quota? For regional maximum quota, you have students, you have schools, and then regions. So each region contains some schools. For example, in Shenzhen, there are high schools. In Guangzhou, there are also high schools. In Dongguan, there are high schools, right? So each region has a bunch of high schools. And these high schools, all together, they will admit students up to a certain limit. Okay? For example, in Dongguan, maybe there are, to name a small number, okay? Maybe there are 10 high schools, right? Too small, too few. But anyway, let's assume 10, okay? So there are 10 high schools. Maybe each one of them can admit 200 students, what? 300 students every year, alright? 300. But as the region as a whole may not have the ability to host 3,000. Maybe the region maximum is 250. Okay? So that means some schools, even though they didn't reach the maximum, they cannot recruit more students because of the region maximum constraint. Okay? So say the first 8 schools already admit 300. Alright? So that already made it 2,400. But my global maximum is what? The region maximum is 500. That means the last 2 schools, they together can only admit 100 students. Okay? In order not to violate. Even though individually they still have capacity. But they cannot go beyond that. Right? So that's a very natural constraint, which is useful in reality as well. Okay? And then here you see each school, right? You have a maximum quota QC, each region has a maximum quota QR. And then the paper is written by Japanese scholars, and that also is because of the special situation in Japan. Alright? Okay, so basically, when you reduce the number of residents in Tokyo, then enough residents will be assigned in rural areas. Okay, so by restrict the region maximum, then you can say, oh, maybe I can do a balanced allocation. And other regions can also have allocation, not all to the popular places, right? Okay, so this is their motivation. Okay. All right. And then here, in this region maximum scenario, we also have a so-called claim empty seat. So what does it mean? Now, claim an empty seat usually is what? Is that student S claim an empty seat in school C. If school C didn't reach its individual maximum, right? And also region-wise, it didn't reach the quota Q yet. Okay? So this is just a simple claim empty seat. Because the student going to that school is feasible, right? Not only in the school perspective, but also in the region perspective, right? In the whole region, the capacity also not over the region maximum. And there's another stronger claim, probably it's a weaker claim. So S is regionally claiming an empty seat of C, if C still has some capacity, but region-wise, it's already full. So that's why I say it's a weaker version, because If the student really goes to the school C, that allocation will violate what? Region maximum. Because if you go to the school C, the region amount goes beyond PY, right? That's not good, that's not feasible, right? So going to that school is not a feasible solution. But the student still will envy that empty seat. He said, oh, your school still has some seats there. If you shift somebody, right? If you persuade somebody else to drop, I can go in, right? Not in your school. You persuade somebody from other school to drop, right? And then I can go to your school. So this time, the student is need to make a stronger case, right? He says, well, in order to let me in, you have to sacrifice somebody else. Not like the first one. The first one, you do not need to sacrifice. But the second one, you need to sacrifice. Right? But still, this student has incentive to envy something, to claim that empty seat. Right? Okay. Now, when you have regional matching, there indeed exist instances where no stable matching exists. Okay? No stable matching means what? It satisfies both fairness and non-wastefulness. And this includes what? Regional non-wastefulness, which means there should be no student regionally claiming an empty seat. Okay? So later on, I will show you one example where this the unstable thing happens. Okay. This is something that you can try for some time, maybe just 1 to 2 minutes. You try to show this fairness and non-wastefulness are incompatible with regional maximum quota. When you have regional maximum quota, there is an example where no stable matching. Okay? Now, this is only a very, very small example. Two students, it's in the next page. Two students, two schools. Very, very small example. So try to see whether you can find such example in 1 to 2 minutes, maybe. Now maybe we slowly look at the example here. We have two students, A and B, and two schools, 1 and 2. Right? And then these two schools are in the same region. And the region minimum quota, maximum quota is 1. And each school, the individual maximum quota is also 1. Which means only one school can admit students, right? Only one school can admit one student. And then, preference, student A likes school 1 better than 2. Student B likes school 2 better than 1. And for school 1 and 2, they also have a reverse, right, symmetric preference. So now, let's see. In a matching, right, because anyway, you need to have match one person, one student to one school. If you do not match anyone, every student will claim empty seat, right? That's not good. So, one student matched to one school. So suppose, because all these things are symmetric, so we just assume A is matched. Okay? Suppose A is matched. And then there are two cases. A matched to school 1, A matched to school 2, right? So if A matched to school 1, you see A is very happy. Right? A is very happy. But B is not happy. B says, I'm not matched. But A liked me better than, oh, sorry. But school one liked me better than A, right? And then I have envy, right? I have to justify envy. But that's not good, right? If A matched to school two, what happens? A matched to school two. And then for A, he liked one better, right? Okay, but he's matched to two. Then A says, can't go to one. I go to one. I didn't hurt anyone, right? Actually, I didn't hurt anyone. I improved my own preference. Can I do that? Right? Because they were regionally envy. No, actually, then probably let's go back to the place where regionally claim means. What regionally claim means? So, regionally claim antecedes. So it seems that the solution, so regional claim cannot hurt somebody else. So this might be, because earlier I said that it can hurt somebody else, right? But it seems that maybe, well, according to this definition, it does not say it can hurt somebody else, right? Okay? Well, with the, so this S, right? This S. Here. So that's why I made one mistake here. Actually, you see, the school C, that this student S likes better, and the school, the student is allocated now, they belong to the same region, right? In other words, this kind of shift is to shift the student itself. The student is now here, right? And then he said, I want to go to one school in the same region, which is better for me. So by doing this, it will not change. It will not violate the regional maximum quota because this region still has so many students. It didn't change. All right? So my bad, I explained something wrong, right? Okay? So that's why you see later on. So later on, you see, in this case, right, if A is matched to 2, then A says, I would rather go to 1, because 1 to me is better, and in the same region, so going to 1 does not hurt the overall feasibility. So A will regionally claim an empty seat in another school, right? Okay, so that's another unstable thing, right? Okay, so you see, no matter which school you match A to, it's not stable. Right? Then there's no stable solution. Because here you are smashing. Right? Okay. Yeah, any question here? Okay. So now let's see what they did in the regional setting. Okay? Now they will do the following. So they do a round robin ordering of schools within a region. Okay? For example, 1, 2, 1, 2, okay? Because this is one region, 1, 2, 1, 2, round robin order. Okay? And then according to this order, every school will defer accept one student. As long as doing this will not violate either individual maximum quota or regional maximum quota. Okay? Otherwise, just reject the students. So here, in this example, you see these two people, they prefer school 1 to school 3 to school 2, and these three prefer school 2 to school 1 to school 3. Okay, so this is round one, right? When they propose to the region, the first school accepts some student, right? And then second school, because these are proposed to second school, right? So second school also accept one student. And then you will accept the second, the one here, and also the one here. Alright? And then the one here. Now, remember the regional max here is 4. So you when you set in this order, 1, 2, 1, 2,
then the last one will be rejected, right? Because it goes beyond the regional maximum. So this purple one will be rejected.
Close enough. And these are also satisfying this M convexity requirement. Okay. And then there's one example about violation of the M convexity. So this is the example shown here. So basically, in this example, we have two groups. Okay? So you can consider them to be schools, right? So two groups. And then you have two rooms. One room has a size which can host one person. The other room has a size which can host two people. Okay. So the so here you see that the allocation vector cannot be something like 3-3, because this room, this room, small room, can only host two students. This room, a big room, can host four students, but you can never assign the students into groups such that they are 3-3, because 1-3 can go to the room with four people, but the other three cannot fit into the room with two capacity, right? So when you have a room together with schools or groups, right? So here we treat the schools as groups, right? So project group. So your project group can only be at most four people here, at most two people here, or at most four people here, at most two people here. That's okay, that's flexible, but you can never have 3-3, right? Dividing students into 3-3 will be infeasible because you don't have two rooms which can both host three students in the room, right? So that's why the allocation vector goes like this, right? So all of these parts are not possible. You can only have an L-shaped allocation vector. And this set is not M-complex. Okay. Well, yeah, and then they show that the generalized DA can handle the set with the satisfied hereditary and M convex property. Okay? And then if you want to, handle more broader constraints, then you need to use the so-called adaptive DA. And then this one we'll not talk about in detail in this class. Okay, so now the last thing we are going to talk about is the top trading cycle mechanism. So this is a very, very interesting mechanism which is used in many places. Okay, so what is that? Now again, we use the one-to-one matching as an example. Now we put the current female in the group. Okay, so we first randomly or arbitrarily assign males to females. Alright, we already formed some pairs. That's fine. These pairs are now in the system. Okay, and then we use female as nodes in the graph. So basically we have a graph. Okay, in this graph, every node represents a female. And then female will point to another female only when what is true? Only when that female's partner is this female's top preference. Is it okay? So now, every female, right? So I try to, where is my top preference? Oh, here. This is my top preference. And just use a link to that position. Okay? So every female does this re-pointing. Okay? I like that person best. So then your graph becomes what? Okay? Every node has one outgoing edge, right? Every node only has one outgoing edge, right? And but it possibly could have many incoming edges. That's fine, okay? Only one outgoing. And then, kind of said, there must be at least one cycle. If it's not stable, if it's already stable, then the algorithm stops, right? If it's not yet stable, then there must be one cycle. Can you imagine? Now, of course, we need some proof. What kind of proof can we do?
Now, in what case there is no second? Can you tell me? In the graph. Oh, so this one is not the same as the end of line problem we talked about earlier, right? One single path. It's not like that, right? But remember here, there can be what? There can be a self loop, which means this female already matched the best man, right? Best male. This is also a cycle, right? It's self-cycle, right? Okay? If there is such a person, then it's also a cycle. Okay? So in that case, we agree that that's always a cycle. Because, well, if there's no self-cycle, then that means everybody point out, right? Everybody point out. Okay, point out, point out, point out, point out. At some moment, it will come back to some point, right? Okay, for sure. Because everybody point out, right? Okay? So, cycle, and then go to the middle, right? Maybe stop in the middle. Then there is a cycle in the middle, right? Okay, so anyway, now you somehow is persuaded by me that there must be a cycle in the graph. Either a self cycle or a real cycle, right? Going to a different meeting. So now, whenever you see a cycle, you just let every female get the male in the direction of the arrow. So grab that male to be this female's partner, and grab that male to be this female's partner. You just reassign the males along the cycle. In this way, every female in the cycle gets its best partner, right? Is that right? Every female in the cycle gets the best partner because you do this shifting, right? Okay? Oh, they're very happy. And then they leave the market. They leave. Now, in the case of self-cycle, it's even easier, right? You just let this female leave the market because it already gets the best partner, right? Okay? Okay. Done. Go out. Shift. Go out. Okay? Now, because when somebody goes out, in the remaining graph, it's just a problem with a smaller size, right? Okay, so this just means that you can redo this procedure, right? You again try to let the female point to the remaining best male, right? And then do this check again. You find another cycle, you do reassign, go out. Okay? So eventually, the graph will be empty. Nobody left. Now, this solution is stable. Yeah. But let's look at one example. So here's Alice, Becky, Carol, right? And currently, Alice is assigned to Lee, Becky is assigned to Ken, Carol is assigned to John. Right. Okay, so for Alice, because he liked John best, so there's arrow pointing to Carol, because Carol is mentioned to John, right? Okay, so he liked John best, so point to Carol. And Carol liked Lee best. Now Lee is currently matched to Alice, right? Okay, so that's why he point to Alice. And then Becky liked Ken best. Oh, sorry, Becky is assigned to Ken, but he also liked John best. So he also point to Carol because Carol is matched to John now, right? Okay? So this is the graph for these three people. And then you see there is a cycle in it. Right? This is a cycle. So what is done? You swap their two partners, right? You give John to Alice, give Lee to Carol. They're very happy. Right? Okay. Done? They leave the market. And then only one person remain and nothing to do, right? Okay? Well, so there's a very nice property for the top trading cycle algorithm, okay? So first of all, it is very proof for female cycle. Remember, we only proof for female cycle. The one who are the nodes in the graph, right? Okay. So, a not so rigorous proof is that if
there exists a path pointing to you, then you can obtain any object in the path.
What does it mean?
There's a path pointing to you.
If somebody wants your path, right?
Somebody wants your path. And they can always obtain any male in the path.
Why? Because it's a path, right? So, you want somebody in the past, then you just link to that node, and there is a cycle, right? Because a path in, right? And then you say, I want this person, right? And then it becomes a cycle, right? And then according to the algorithm, you can get this person. Okay, so basically, as long as there's a path here to you, they are eligible to get anyone in the past, including your top preference, right? Okay, so this is true, right? Because that will form a cycle. And then this path actually will remain in the system as long as you stay in the market. Why? As long as you stay, this path will remain. That seems not so straightforward.
If you didn't stay,
yes, you are right. And then if you stay, why other people will not leave the market? So, because now we are talking about I did open the light in the middle. So suppose you are here. So you are here, D. And then why is it not possible that C points here? And they leave the market? It's actually easy, right? Can C point back to A?
C has point to
D. Yeah, C only points to D, right?
Yeah.
Everyone can only have one edge going out, right? Yeah. So the people in the middle, they will not point back. So there could be no cycle containing these edges. That's not possible, right? So basically, these two will not. This path will maintain. They will not leave the market, right? So as long as you do not leave, because if you leave, C will can go back, right? But if you do not leave, nobody in the path can leave the system, can leave the market, because everyone is coming towards you, right? Okay? Nobody can have a second link going out because you are their top preference. Okay? Yeah. So that's a. That's okay, right? So the path will remain as long as you are in the market. So for you, no hurry. You do not need to say, oh, do I need to change my preference? Do I need to originally my best preference is here? Do I need to say, oh, my best preference is B? Do I need to say this? No. I just keep doing that. B will not be gone, right? B will not be gone. I just wait to see whether I can get my first preference, right? I don't need to say, oh, maybe I don't have a chance to get first preference. I hope that first. No, you do not need to go to the second. You just keep your first preference there, alright? No worry. Okay. Alright, so basically this finishes the strategy proofness, because this shows you don't need to misreport your top preference, right? Just tell people the truth, right? Your top preference, you don't need to change it, right? Okay, so this is strategy proofness. Now, the second one is Pareto efficient. Pareto efficient is also easy, because you see, we pick females according to cycle, right? So in the first round, everybody gets the best partner, right? So do you have a solution where everyone gets a
we have a solution here. You say, I want to find a better Pareto, well, Pareto dominating solution. Then you have to guarantee the first round female, they still get the best, right?
But if you guarantee the first round female getting the best, it doesn't hurt to remove them, giving them the best, right? So basically, removing the first cycle does not hurt the existence of Pareto optimal solution, okay? Or does not hurt the current solution to be Pareto optimal, all right?
I think there's a big twist here. Now let me just redo it, okay? Let me just redo it. The first cycle you see, all right? You say, after assigning the partners to their females, all right? Is this solution Pareto efficient, Pareto optimal? All right? So my answer is, well, at least to let them get the optimal partner is maintaining the existence of Pareto optimal solution with this first cycle unchanged. The first cycle, I just give them the best partner. This one will not hurt the current solution to be Pareto best solution or Pareto optimal solution. Because in order to dominate the solution, you cannot hurt the benefit of any single one in the first cycle. So any single one in the first cycle still need to get the best partner. But to let them get the best partner, removing or reassign along the cycle is something you must do, right? Okay, so let's just do it, right? Let's just do the first cycle. And then in the second cycle, if some female gets the second best, not the first best, then their outcome cannot be improved without hurting the first round females. Right? The second cycle gets the second best. The reason is its first best or the top preference is assigned to the first round female. Right? Okay, so if the second round female wants to get that first, the best, then somebody in the first round has to be sacrificed. But if they are sacrificed, the solution is no longer Pareto dominated, our solution. Because somebody in the first round becomes worse, right? That's not the philosophy of Pareto optimality. Okay, so basically, the second round, they cannot improve. Not possible. They cannot improve without breaking the first round, right? Okay, so basically, the whole thing is also Pareto optimal, Pareto efficient. Okay, so I think that I need to stop here. So basically, you can do the school and the student assignment similar. Student point to the best school, okay? And school point to the most preferred student, and then the cycle, and you can do along the cycle, right? And then after the cycle leave the market, okay, so basically you can use a similar top trading cycle algorithm to do the student and school assignment. Okay, but so I think that's the end. To a very brief summary, the basics I think I don't need to repeat, but for auction, you need to know the VCG, alright, very important, and the second price auction is also very standard. And for matching, you know the deferred acceptance algorithm, and we talk about the flexible DA, and also the finally top trading cycle algorithm. Okay, so much about today, and